I just want to welcome those of you who are here for the first time, or maybe a second, third time, and just let you know that we are kind of living and active as a church. We're not really the same any week, and so I just want you to know that if you come, like maybe for a year, you might get a feel of what we're like, but I'm not even sure, because it seems like God is changing us from glory to glory. But I believe that's because He has something in His heart for us. There's something the Spirit of God is saying in this day, and He puts it in my heart, you know, in saying, I want to know You more, Lord. But it's to know Him. It's really to know Him. And, you know, we don't know Him. I don't know Him. Like, I really should know Him. And, you know, that could be my fault. You could say, well, you don't read your word enough. That could be the case. But I think it's beyond just reading the word. I think it's beyond just, you know, being obedient to what you see in the word. I think it's a matter of just opening yourself up totally to Him. And this past year, I've been kind of experiencing that. There's times I just sit there and go, Lord, I'm just so undone. And, you know, and just realize how much I need to know Him so I can be like Him. And I want to quickly go to a couple of scriptures. I won't keep you too long, maybe an hour or two at the most. No, I'm kidding. But in John chapter 17, I think it's verse 3. About a month ago, maybe a little over a month, the Lord started dealing with me about having the sermon time being different. And it ended up being that He asked me to not prepare for a specific message for that Sunday, but to just leave that up to Him. Read the Word, study the Word, pray, you know, spend time in worship, all those things, but not to come with a preconceived idea, you know, up to Sunday. And so far, I've gotten a message like right during worship, gotten a message like, you know, earlier that morning, and this one kind of came together kind of just before church. And what the Lord shared with me to get me to kind of follow this theme was, He said, the hour has come. And that's interesting that you said that, my brother, that this is our hour, this is our time, this is our day, this is our destiny. The hour has come. And now is, I believe, that the Father is you know, says that He's searching for hearts that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, I believe there's more than that going on. It's like that the search is being completed, and we're being raised up in this day as a people that in spirit and in truth, in reality, are going to live for Him. That we're not going to be some mold stamped. We're not going to be some carbon copy of someone else. We're going to have our identity in Christ. We'll be who God called us to be. You know, it won't be that, you know, you come, hopefully come to this church and we all act the same, or we all have the same gift, or we all seem, you know, like we'll be a body, but we're different members of this body. We're different parts of the body. Can you imagine having two left thumbs? Left thumbs. You had a left thumb on this hand. That means when you tried to open it this way, it would go back like that. That'd be really weird, wouldn't it? I mean, it's, and yet we think the body, you know, is going to be the same, God's body. That's not the way it is. And we need each other. Here it is. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. This is Jesus in John 17. This whole prayer, you could call it the Lord's Prayer, because it's 26 verses of Jesus praying. And He's praying to the Father for His disciples. He's praying to the Father for His relationship with the Father, and He's praying to the Father for us who come after the disciples through their word. And right here, He is saying that this truth and this, I believe, this important fact that we need to know today, that this is eternal life. That word eternal is eternity. It's a never-ending existence. And that life is life, life abundantly. It's that Zoe word, if you want to go look it up in the Greek. It's an abundant life. It's an overflowing life. It's a bubbling up life. It's a life of life. And it says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. To know God needs to be our highest aspiration. Not to know about him. There's a difference. You can go to your Bible and you can read your Bible and say, oh, I want to know about God. I've done this before. I want to know stuff about God. And you start going through your Bible and, oh, that's really great. I know that about God. And you can spend your life trying to know about God. And you can be an authority about God. How many have watched the History Channel? They have guys that are authorities about God and about religion. They have no faith. There's no truth in them because there's no relationship with the truth, but they're authorities on God. They know about God, but they don't know him. See, we have got to desire to know him. We have to desire to have his word be so much in us that it's not that we know his word, but his word knows us. See, intimacy isn't that we know things about God. It's that we've let God know everything about us. We've said, you know what? I'm no longer hiding this dirty laundry from you, or, you know, hiding this nastiness anymore, this dark room. It's opened up to you. And as you do that, it's amazing. As you let God know you, guess what he does? He says, oh, well, by faith you did that. Now, here I am. Whoa. He reveals himself. But it's eternal life to know God. It's not, what's the word I want to use? It's not a small thing to know God. I believe it takes your life to know God. It takes a whole life to know God. And I think when we fully know him is when we'll see him. I don't think any of us, as close as we get here, are not going to fully know him here like we can know him intimately in heaven. But there is, I believe, a high calling, and there is an attainment that we can reach and that the Holy Spirit is drawing us to. I can't tell you how many people I talk to are just tired of church as usual, tired of faith as usual, tired of this Christian walk just being, you know, the same old, same old. Anybody else there? I mean, there's people that don't go to church because they don't want to be part of the rat race. They don't want to be part of just a system. They want to be part of something that makes a difference in this world. Let's see. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Verse 12. Actually, no. We'll start with 11 so you can get the context. Jesus says here to the virgins who were not prepared, but he answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. That's the story of 10 virgins. I think 5 have oil, 5 don't have enough oil. And the bridegroom comes, and he receives the ones who have the oil. The ones who had to go buy more oil aren't received. But he says in this story, it's because they don't know him. He doesn't say, because you didn't have enough oil. I think the ones who knew him knew they needed to have oil. Knew they needed to be prepared. It's amazing, the more that we know God, the more we become prepared. The more that we know God, the less stress we become, I think, about our external situation and circumstances. We don't fret over bad news all the time because we know who our God is. We know him, and he knows us. I think I'm going to go to
Jeremiah 9:3. I hope this is it. No, that's not it. Help me, Lord. It's the only problem of not coming prepared with notes. It's like, where was I? Hang on a second here. Thank you, Lord. 9:23. There we go. Close. Jeremiah 9:23. I'm going to read out of the New King James. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. In other words, don't boast in what you know, even though you know it. Don't glory or don't boast that you're strong, even though you are strong. And don't be flattered or boast about your riches, even though you are rich. This is what God says, but let him who glories or boasts glory in this or boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Then he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Basically saying, I'm going to punish those who are Jews, even with the ones who are not Jews. And he tells us why he's going to do this. Egypt, Judah, Edom, and the people of Ammon, Moab, and all who are in the farthest corners, who dwell in the wilderness, these are all enemies of Israel. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. See, that's what it's about. It's not about some outer appearance. It's not about looking good on the outside. It's about our inside, folks. And that's what really matters. It's when our inside is being crafted and molded and changed by God that we are knowing him then. We're being prepared. We're being transformed and changed. It's only through this hunger of knowing him that we're going to know him. You're not going to know him by me just saying, know him. You're going to have to get to the place where you know you need to know him. You're going to have to get to the place where you know that if you don't know him, that there's an alternative that can come that you're not going to be happy about. Because if we don't know him, he doesn't know us. We can think we know him, just as those scholars who have probably, you know, dissected the Torah and the New Testament, they can tell you all the fallacies and what's wrong with it. Because they don't know him. Because my Bible says that in him is no shadow or turning. There's no darkness in him. That's why I can say when things have come into my life, and they have, bad things, that I don't have to shake my fist at God and say, what are you doing? Because I know he's all good. And I know I'm in his hands, and that no matter what comes my way, in Christ, good can come from it. This week we've had a disaster take place in Colorado. A massacre took place. And from the world's perspective, it's all bad. But where God is let in each one of those lives, each one of those losses, he can allow so much good to come from this disaster, from this massacre, from this senseless crime. But you have to have eyes of faith. You have to know God. One more scripture. It's Philippians. Hang on. Three 10. Philippians 3:10. This is Paul. He's making a declaration that I may know him. If you go back up here, I think in verse 8, I think we sang a song, "Lead Me to the Cross." I count it all as loss. Listen to what Paul says. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may obtain the resurrection of the dead. Paul, the crazy apostle, the one who basically could possibly be, by the reason, for the reason, most part, the reason why most Christians are here, because he was going all over the world preaching Jesus Christ, making disciples, doing what Jesus had told his disciples to do to the Gentiles. And he says that his, I would say, number one aspiration, he says that everything else he counted as loss. So I would say that this is his number one aspiration, folks. That I might know him. He says here, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Now again, we're talking about the person who had an intimate encounter, very intimate encounter with Christ Jesus, knocked him off his donkey, blinded him, spoke directly to him. And yet he says, that I might know him. Wait, Paul, you know him? No, I don't. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know him. And that will be my proclamation till I die, because that is going to be my heart's desire to know him. I'm never going to be satisfied with what I know today. I'm never going to be satisfied with what I have gained in Christ. I'm going to count it all as loss, because there's an excellency awaiting me of knowledge of Christ. What I have known in the past is the past. Yes, it builds for the future. But if I don't know him today and tomorrow in the way he wants me to know him, then I am stifling him. Amen. And I'm keeping him in the knowledge that I needed for the past. The Jesus you knew a year ago is not the Jesus you need to know right now. The Holy Spirit's revelation in your life that you had a year ago is not the revelation the Holy Spirit wants for you now. He wants to open up your life to all of him. Right. And guess what? A year from now, he'll want to do that even more. Right. He does not want us to stay the same. He wants us to go from glory to glory, faith to faith, strength to strength, Christ to Christ, I would say. He wants us to be Christ today and more of Christ tomorrow. Yeah. The image of Christ is who we're to become, really. That's what it's all about. And Paul saying that I know him is saying that I may be more like him. Without the knowledge of him, we'll never be like him. One more scripture. Thank you, Lord. I've been wanting to share this for a little while, and he just opened it up. Second Peter chapter 1. We'll start at verse 2. Are you guys okay? Because I know I'm going over the normal time. Ooh. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. Ooh, listen to that. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There is a divine DNA in each one of us. There is a seed of heaven that is waiting to grow. Peter later on calls it in 1 Peter, the incorruptible seed. In other words, there is no corruption in it. It comes through the knowledge of Him, though. So many of us go, why am I not more like Jesus? Because you don't know Him. To know Him is to be Him. To know Him is to be a partaker. That means partner, exister in His nature. This word nature is an amazing word. 500 BC, it was used to describe how everything came to be. So we're talking about His existence. Who He is who we become. His existence becomes our existence. His life becomes our life. His heaven becomes our heaven. That's why He said, disciples, pray this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, your plans, your purposes, your nature, come into me, Christ. Take over me, Christ. But it's through the knowledge of Him. It's not through the knowledge of or knowing about God. It's through the knowledge of Him. Through Him. To Him. In Him. The only way that we're going to attain this type of transformation is to let Him in and see all of us. He has to be able to see everything that we are. You're saying, well, He's God. He knows. He does know, but unless you give Him privilege, He can't. Did you hear what I said? See, He's not going to force Himself on you. I mean, He knows who we are, but we have not given Him permission to know us. What does that mean? Well, that means maybe you sit and say, God, here's the things that I'm dealing with, and you start saying them, saying, well, God knows that they're there. He does, but He has not had permission to deal with them. You've been holding them back from Him. Well, He's God. How can I do that? Because He's made you in His image. You have authority. And you can have the kind of authority that can keep God from doing anything in your life. He loves you that much. He's given you that much control to keep His nature from coming upon us. And I don't care how much He loves us and how much He wants us to be like Him, He won't force Himself into you. So if you say, God, I want you, but you're saying, well, not this stuff, I just want all of you, but you can't have this. You can't have it that way. He has to know you, and then you will know Him. So what am I saying? I'm saying there's still junk in my trunk. There's still things that I deal with that I haven't totally given to Him. Yeah, I'm being honest. I'm being transparent here because I want to know Him. The excellence of the knowledge of Christ. And if we don't come to this place where we get to the place where we're so tired of holding on to things that aren't taking us anywhere anyway, that's the whole joke of it all. Is that we hold on to things and we feast on things that bring no spiritual nutrition to us or even bring really joy. Because we need to do something else the next day to bring some kind of joy. And we forgot that that didn't work before, but sure enough, we'll go back to the old stuff. Oh, pitiful people that we are, Paul said in Romans 7. But Holy Spirit, thank you, is saying to the church, my people who are called by my name, humble yourselves, pray, seek my face, turn from all those things you've been involved with, and I'm going to heal your land. Yes, He'll heal Yakima, and He'll heal Washington State, but I believe this is the land He needs to heal first. Ground zero. This is where it matters. If he could get his people to be the place where he really habitates, he lives, he moves, he's able to have his entire way in us, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We will come to church and we will party. Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken our mortal bodies in such a way that we will not even believe at what God does in our midst. And I mean our midst, I'm talking about in our homes, in our workplaces, out on the streets. Because to have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ in us, we take on his nature. Not just nice people. No, we take on the authority. We take on the power over the enemy. We're able to speak to darkness and light has to come. We're able to speak to blind eyes and they open. Not just spiritually, physically. Because we have his nature. But if we won't know him, and that's what it is, it's won't. It's our choice. He has given all knowledge poured out through the Holy Spirit. All he's waiting for us to do is, I'm done. I'm empty. I can't do this anymore. And it's a repetitive thing. It's something you have to keep going back to. That's why I say, if you come up to the altar, don't worry about it. Come up again sometime. If you've been reading a certain part of Scripture and you think you got it all figured out, go back to it again someday and you'll find out, whoa, I didn't know it said that. It's ever changing. It's ever speaking to us new things. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he is unsearchable. So every now and then he reveals a little bit of that unsearchableness of him. Whoa, God, you're that big? I thought you were this big. Now you're this big. I don't know how we ended up here, but I know that God wants to reveal himself to you. That's why the Spirit of Revelation was here today. And this doesn't have to be confined to this service. That's the other lie of the enemy. You get something from church when you're at church. And then some people say, well, you get something from God when you're with God's people. Or you get something from God when the environment is perfect and it's about ready to drop. You can get something then. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You can get something from God combing your hair in the morning, eating breakfast. All you have to do is be open to it. Be open to it. Say, God, invade my world. And he will. He'll speak to you when you weren't ready to even be spoken to. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are giving us a hunger to know you. The excellence of who you are, Lord Jesus. Your majesty, your splendor, your glory, your love, your compassion, your grace, God. You're giving us a hunger, Lord, that's going beyond these natural senses, that's going beyond our own ability to think and reason, God. Holy Spirit, you're doing it, and we thank you for it. And God, I pray what you started here today, let it continue. Lord, let your word go forth. Let it go in power from our lips, Lord, anointed with the Holy Spirit. Let us prophesy to ourselves, Lord, as we lie in our beds at night. Let us speak the truths of God, of who we are and who you are. Let us open up every dark, wicked area of us, God, so that you can shine your light, Lord, and transform and change us. Lord, help us to know you. Help us to know who you are, Lord, in your fullness. Not know about you anymore. Know you. That intimate, experiential life of faith that you've called us to. That reality walk that you've called us to. Let us live it, Lord. Let us make a difference, God, in this lost and dying world. Let us make a difference, Lord, to our families. Let us make a difference, Lord, to
those around us, God, who don't know you. Thank you, Jesus. You are so worthy. You are so worthy. Thank you, Jesus. I'll finish with this. If you trust God, let him have it all. If you trust God, just let him have it all. Every bit of baggage, all your wealth and possessions. And believe me, to what God has, that's nothing. But we think it's so much. All your gifts. Let him have all your gifts. All your spiritual gifts. Say, no longer do I use my gifts for my own exaltation. Let not the mighty glory in his might. Let not the rich glory in his riches. Let not the wise glory in their wisdom. It's all from God anyway. I guarantee if something comes out of your mouth and you're all impressed with it, you're not that good. It's God in you. It's God in you. Give him the glory. Then more stuff might come out. But when we take credit for it, he says, well, that's all you want. That's all you get. And we limit the Holy Spirit's work. God bless you all. I love you. Have a great day.